Hello, world. This is Allison Pipitone. In this podcast, we talk about music and those of us who do it for a song. Welcome to The Great Unsung. This week, we're going to do something a little different. I teach at the State University of New York at Fredonia in the music industry department, which is part of the business department. And this week, I handed things over to my students. I teach a podcasting class. And this week, what we did is I literally put all my students' names in a hat, pulled their names, paired them up. I posed a simple question: why do you value music? I had the students get together, discuss the idea, record their answers, mix it, and send it over to me. Keep in mind, most of these students, with one notable exception of a brother and sister team, didn't know each other at all, besides sitting in the same classroom together. I asked one student named Ethan Mordenga to introduce each segment, and I asked another student, Bryce Height, who's a DJ, to help us out with some of the technical aspects. So here's our result. They all did a great job, and I'm super proud of them. Sit back, relax. And here comes episode 18 of The Great Unsung.
What's up, guys? It's Ethan Mordenga here, and I'm currently sitting with Marcel and Caitlin Morey. And today what they are going to be discussing is the music industry as a whole, but breaking it down into more of what they grew up with and the areas that they were surrounded by and how that influenced their styles of music. We got Marcel, who was from the city and who was kind of influenced more with the hip-hop and rap genre. And then we have Caitlin, who kind of grew up more in the countryside, and she grew up with more of a country indie style. And today they're going to just be discussing, you know, growing up and how the other areas influence their music likeness. And as they've gotten older, what's influenced them to, you know, branch out and become more familiar in different genres of music. So I hope you guys enjoy and stick around and listen.
Hey guys, you're in the studio with Marcel and
Caitlin.
Hey Caitlin.
Hello.
Today we're going to discuss our background, where we're from. We're from different parts of the world. I'm from New York City, and
well, not
she's...
the world, the state.
Well, state,
but
yeah.
Pretty much different world.
Different world. It might as well be different worlds. But I'm from New York City, Brooklyn, New York, a very, you know, urban area. And she's from?
I'm from Williamstown, New York. And if you haven't heard of it, you're not alone. It's north of Syracuse, and it's like a super small town.
But yeah, we're basically here to compare and contrast how, like, our upbringings and our hometowns kind of influence the music we listen to, love, and like to do. So I'm starting with Caitlin.
Yeah, okay. So I am from Williamstown, New York. Mm-hmm. It is a super small town, and where I live, I'm surrounded by woods and fields, and it's basically farm country out there. So I grew up on country music, as you might expect, from living in the middle of nowhere. I was really influenced by the Dixie Chicks. Like, they were my world when I was, like, 4 or 5 years old. I absolutely loved them and their music. I'm trying to, like, remember what else I listened to. Like, Tim McGraw. I had a huge Taylor Swift phase when I was, like, in seventh grade, when she was still doing country. But yeah, it was all country all the time for me when I was really little.
That's cool. For me, I feel like being from New York City, there's a mural of Biggie Smalls, like, on the corner of my block. Like, so, I don't know. There's a lot of, like, hip-hop and, like, R&B and stuff like that going around.
Yeah.
And you might expect that coming from a city kid, because, like, almost everyone from the city kind of likes the same stuff. Like,
yeah.
It's a big artistic world there, but a lot of the music that people hear, like, out here, we're in Fredonia now. This is where we're recording this at.
A lot of just people, an update for you.
Know, just an update for you. We're in Fredonia, New York. So just from the area that we're in now, coming from home, a lot of the music people hear here came from where I'm from and, like, started there. And I heard it, like, before coming here. And it's just kind of strange to see that, like, being from where music originates, a lot of the popular music originates, is kind of just, like, I don't know, it's strange, because then you go to other places and they're, like, listening to this stuff and you're like, what is this stuff? And then it's like, oh, okay, I heard that a while ago. Oh, okay, I've never heard of that. But like,
I heard it first.
Yeah, I heard it first. If I didn't hear it first, it's like we probably wouldn't hear it because music in the city is so competitive. It's like, I feel like it's very controlled. Like, you hear what they kind of want you to hear.
So, like, in New York City, people are listening to music and making music almost in, like, a competitive way.
Yes, exactly.
Where now that you're out here, you're like, oh, people are just enjoying
and
it.
Just enjoying music
just
for
the love of it.
Exactly. So, like, back home, it's just, like, one big fight to, like, people either want to be the best artist or hear music first or find the newest artist first.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know. It's, like, one big business back home, and that's kind of why, like, I'm a business major here with a concentration in the music industry. Like, I love the business side of it almost just as much as I love the artistic, like, craft behind it all.
Right.
So, like, I'm very conflicted between the two, but that's part of, like, my upbringing.
So, yeah. That's so, I never really thought about, it, like growing up with music being a competitive thing. Like, I understand the competition of it. I played flute. That was, like, my major for 2 years. So it was not competition, but, like, you want to be the best.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? So I totally get that. But, like, growing up, it's just like, oh, this is the thing that makes me happy.
Exactly.
Or, like, that's, yeah, that's
interesting. And there are, like, people in the city who enjoy music for that. Just, oh, it makes me happy. Oh, I enjoy doing it.
Yeah.
But those are the people who are known as, like, underground artists. Or those are the people who, like, aren't as prominent in, like, what they do.
Right.
But, like, in New York City, just because it's, like, there's so many people. There's so much going on. Like, I feel like to be noticed, there's always, like, something that comes along with it. Like, people either snaking people or, like, stealing artwork from people. It's just, there's always something that comes with, like, being known. And I feel like the most genuine art is, like, the ones that don't get notarized.
Right.
Like, the art that doesn't get notarized is, like, the most genuine.
Gotcha. Okay, that's interesting. So, like, now that you're out here and that you've moved out here, has your music taste changed or did it change at all, like, while you were growing up?
I've always been very immersed in, like, all styles and genre of music. Coming here, I feel like I'm a lot more open-eared to, like, indie bands.
Right,
because
right.
this is, like, a really, 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 like, good safe haven for those kind of bands. Like, there are a lot of kids I go to class with who play the guitar and stuff like that. And that's something I've always wanted to do, being a city kid, like, learn to play the guitar and stuff. But,
It's not easy.
It's not
Tried.
Easy.
Yeah, I did it in middle school. It wasn't very good, but it was fun.
That's cool, yeah. I've always wanted to try it. I got a guitar once and just, like, I got a guitar, and then 1 year later, I got a microphone.
Yeah.
And I dropped the guitar and I just started rapping into the microphone. It was, I know, it's weird.
You didn't rap and play guitar at the
same
time?
It'd be really cool if I could, though. I wish I could. But,
oh, like the Clash of Two Worlds.
Yeah. But I just feel like being here, like being exposed to a lot of indie rock bands and like the indie like performance scene, even seeing them perform at like bars and like little warehouses and stuff. I enjoy that a lot because it reminds me of, like, the underground hip-hop artists and stuff from back home and how they'll perform literally anywhere. Like, I've seen people perform on street corners to subway stations to, like, on the middle of a, like, public bus. Like, in the city, like, people don't really care. Like,
yeah. They're just like, oh, there's the guitarist again.
Let's do it. Yeah, exactly. So.
That's interesting.
I'm always hearing music everywhere I go. I feel like it's probably different where you're from. Like,
yeah, so for me, it's like, yeah, everyone listens to music. And, I like, you know, country is kind of like the basis of what people would listen to, but I was also exposed to like 70s and 80s music from my parents and what they collected growing up. And I got into classical music because when I was younger I would go to the Syracuse Symphony Orchestra and listen to all, like, they would play the works of Beethoven, they got Holst Planets, like everything under the sun that's classical or like at, like, that type of music, they would play it. And I just remember, like, going for the first time and just being in awe, like, what is this beautiful sound?
So cool.
It was so great. And so, like, that got me interested into leading me into, like, playing the flute when I was in middle and high school. And so through that, I learned even more classical music, and it led me to becoming a music major and studying it for college. So I really...
So are you, like... more into the classical style of music when it comes to like performance yourself? Like what kind of style of music?
I think it's influenced. I think it's influenced me in that I appreciate music, like real music, a lot more than I do. Like I listen to the radio and you can tell, like people are just pressing buttons and being like, this is a beat. And I'm just like, okay. I mean, not that anyone can do that and that it isn't music, but I just, it's not as special to me because like when I listen to bands, like I love Florence and the Machine. They're more of like an indie type group, but like she's got like harp in her, like, almost all of her songs, and there's, like, drums and that's guitars cool. and just her amazing vocals. Like, I know it's real, and I know, like, it means something to them. So when I can, like, hear real performances, I appreciate it so much more. And I think classical, like, listening to classical music, like, really influenced, like, why I appreciate that more than other music.
That's cool.
No.
I feel like I grew up a lot on, I have a grandfather who passed away, mm-hmm. so I inherited, like, 5,000, like, vinyls.
Right. Yeah, so, nice.
Yeah, in his honor, like, I took a long time, and I've been listening to him. I used to listen to him when he was alive. Like, I used to sit with him and play jazz and, like,
yeah,
watch
Yeah, oh, that's awesome.
Play. Yeah, but, I don't know. People kind of expect me to just be, like, a city kid who only listens to, like, hip-hop mm-hmm. and R&B. But I'm, like, I enjoy classical music. Like, I was even part of a choir or two.
Yeah.
I was part of a church choir in, like, fifth or sixth grade. Mm-hmm. And then I did it again here, for credit, but I still did it
for
again
For credit,
here.
But...
yeah, I enjoyed it. I mean, there are people who sit through that class miserable, but I actually kind of enjoy,
yeah,
like,
it's,
the music.
It gets you exposed to music that... you probably otherwise wouldn't have never heard
exactly.
or never even cared to even, like, and that's how I felt, like, through mine. I was like, oh, I never cared to figure out, like, who Mozart was, and now I love him.
And people sometimes fail to realize, like, a lot of this other music is the basis for the music they listen to.
Right.
Like, a lot of it will influence, like, a lot of jazz music influences hip-hop, and I'm sure a lot of classical music doesn't,
yeah.
you know, influence country music or mm-hmm. pop or et cetera.
Yeah, you start to appreciate, like, how it's made and the work that goes into it.
Mm-hmm. So what kind of music do you, like, well, do you do music yourself? What do you do?
I play the flute. I transferred here from OCC, which is a two-year school out in Syracuse, and I was majoring in music performance on the flute, so I played that a lot. I don't play it as much anymore, but I do still enjoy the practice of it and just being able to, like, make your own music.
Oh, music.
Even if it's not good, sometimes it's just like, oh, I did this. I'm doing this. Like, it's just really fun. And, like, I play piano a little bit too.
Okay.
Like, I had to learn that for college, but I was just so happy that it was part of, like, the curriculum. Like, you have to learn piano. It's like, fine by me.
Fine
it's
by
a
me.
New skill. Like, this is great.
That's cool.
But yeah.
For me, I don't know. I'm more, like I said before, I love the business side of music.
Right.
And I also love, like, the songwriting aspect, the creativity.
Mm-hmm.
I try and find a balance between the two, but it's really hard, like, in a world... In the music industry itself, it's, like, really difficult trying to find a balance between the business and the art. Because you're either, like, 100% about the business and, like, the art doesn't get the amount of attention it does. Or you're 100% about the art and, like, you're not as well business first as you should be.
Right. Like,
so,
you, like, might be able to make music, but you don't know, like, how
to
market
it.
Or,
like,
do like, I can do this. Now what?
Now what? Exactly. Or, like, hey, I can sell this, but I have nothing to sell. Like, if
yeah.
you're just all about the business. So,
yeah.
For me, I came here trying to find a balance. Getting away from the city, I feel like too many people are back there are one-sided. They're all about the art or
mm-hmm.
they're all about the business, and they can't find a balance, and that's kind of why they end up where they are.
Right.
I tried to step away from that, come to somewhere where the art isn't originating from and have it originate from somewhere else.
Nice.
So that people back home could hear it, maybe.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that's how I see things.
Very cool.
Yeah, so.
Very cool.
All right, well.
Yeah. I think we got some good perspective from both of us.
Yeah, me too.
What's up, guys? It's Ethan Mordanga here, and I am currently sitting with Jake Sipovitz and Kyle LaJoy. They are both local musicians, songwriters, and guitar players, and today they are going to talk about the obstacles that they face on a daily basis in the music industry and basically discussing what they have to deal with and what they do to get through the tough times. And basically their overall mood is that the good always weighs out the bad and that they don't do it for the money, they do it for the love of the music. I hope you enjoy. Thank you very much.
Hello, everybody. My name is Kyle. I am a working musician, singer-songwriter, and guitar player. And today I'm going to be talking with Jake.
Hi, my name is Jake Sipovitz. I'm also a musician in a band called 42 Eagle, and I've also worked on many events in the past.
So today we're going to kind of discuss a little bit about obstacles a bit in the music industry and... why we continue doing music despite all these obstacles. Do you have any stories you'd like to share? Or?
So I never have been doing music for the money. I've always been in it for the passion and getting my stuff out there, because it's always been a form of venting in a way for me. So that's why I continued with music, despite all the obstacles, like being underpaid as an artist and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think I come from kind of the same sphere of it. When I was younger, you know, we didn't use paid a lot, and that was never really a concern for me. Granted, because like we were young, but even now, it's just kind of like, you know, you do it because you love it, and you know,
money's nice.
Yeah, I kind of see my musical experience as like kind of like a checkbook. Like, imagine yourself as like the richest person in the world, and you're like balancing, you know, your checkbook, and you input, you know, so many great experiences, you know, with your friends, and you know, you write a song that, you know, you can't stop dancing to, or that your friends have stuck in their head, and it, you know, those debit experiences always kind of weigh out my credit balances. And that's kind of the way that I look at it. Why I keep doing it is because the good always weighs out the bad.
Exactly.
And you know, if you're out on the road and you have a bad experience, and you go the next night and you play a great show, and that's like, you know, you see the faces, you see people after you play, and it's just like your heart is like full, you know. And that's kind of what I love. And even getting responses after like dropping a song or anything, it's just like so rewarding.
Yeah, the good things always weigh out the bad, because you'll play a show with nobody there, and then you'll play a show with so many people, and it'll make you revitalize. I don't know.
Have you ever played a show like just for the sound guy?
Just for the sound guy?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
I've played shows like that and then had to pay afterwards because they didn't talk about that with us. Right. And they were like, "Oh, you were supposed to bring in 30 people, so where's our $200?" And we're like, "No." And there's not much that they can do after that either. But we have paid out of pocket before to play shows, which is a terrible experience from my point of view. But you can understand a venue wanting to be paid for having a show if it's not being profitable.
Yeah, and then at the same time, you know, it gives you a lot of inspiration to like turn it around and like play like a killer show.
Exactly.
After that, with like a lot of people. So I think like in terms of experiences, the good always weighs out the bad for me if you have enough passion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you hear a lot of stories about musicians who will be like, "Oh, I quit after this one bad experience. I lost so much money." And then they stop doing it, and they lose that opportunity to redeem themselves and experience the really, really good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think the main thing for getting over obstacles is having passion.
Yeah, it drives you forward.
Yeah. If you could change one thing about the industry, what would you change?
So what we were just talking about, paying out of pocket for shows, is what I would change about the music industry, because it's unrealistic to have up-and-coming bands that have no fan base whatsoever to have 30 people drawn in. Like, that's too many people, you know, starting out at least. Like, if you're a big band, I can understand them expecting you to bring in a decent crowd, but if nobody has ever heard your music before, who's going to show up to your show? So that's one thing I would change about the music industry.
I think my point to that is kind of similar. I think artistic integrity is a big thing, and when you look at the amount of artists who aren't creating their music and that are making a lot of money off of it, is like really, really staggering. And, like, when you look at artists, like you said, who are playing venues that you have to pay out of pocket for, those are the guys who are writing their music. Those are the guys who are, you know, traveling around the country in a van.
Mm-hmm. And it discourages you, too.
It does.
From playing future shows.
Yeah, so I think one thing that I would change about the industry is the amount of credit that goes to songwriters, producers, people who create the stuff, not, you know, figureheads. Mm-hmm. You know. And there's a lot of mainstream artists today that do create their own music and that do put in the work. And you can see that. You can see that because consumers respond to truth. Mm-hmm. And that's why great artists that create their own music are so great. It's because they're telling the truth in their music.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes across in people that aren't, it's discouraging to people who do. And yeah, that's what I would change if I could change anything. So based off everything we kind of just said, how does this kind of formulate your idea of music's worth and kind of its importance in your life?
So there's always going to be that bad aspect of everything that'll ruin your day, but there's always going to be also that good aspect that drives you forward and makes you want to do what you are doing currently.
What are some of the things specifically that drive you? Like, what would you say, like, makes it for you? Like, specifically?
Those shows that you play where you hear everybody singing back to you what you've written long ago, and you never thought that you would get to that point, and then it's such a rewarding thing hearing stuff like that.
So it's the live performances.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there's, like, it's kind of like magic when you perform live, because it's like you take something that, you know, you write, and it's from coming from a place, like something that you're feeling. And I don't know about you, but I usually write alone, mm-hmm. like by myself. And it's usually a kind of very in my head thing. And then once you do that live performance, not for the sound guy, for like other people, it's just like, wow, I wasn't the only person going through this.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate that, like, kind of aspect of it. Not feeling like I'm crazy.
Mm-hmm. We're always looking for that thing that we can latch onto and relate to in music. So I feel like that's also a thing that drives me as well.
It takes a stupid amount of courage to be able to write and then express that through music. And then when it's reciprocated by, you know, whether it be a live performance or whether it be a record, it's nice to feel validated in something that you love to do. And it feels good when you're up there performing too. So
that's been our podcast. This is Kyle and Jake, and we look forward for you tuning in next time.
And thanks for not thinking musicians are crazy, because we think we are.
What's up, guys? This is Ethan Mordanga here, and today I am sitting with rapper and songwriter Luigi and his friend Katie, who is more of a law student in the music industry business side of the world. And today they are going to be focusing and discussing how music has truly influenced them and affected them throughout the years, and where they see themselves in the future. So come tune in and chill and hang out and hear what they have to say. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. My name is Luigi Montanaro. I am a senior here in SUNY Fredonia, and I am a music industry major.
Hello, I'm Katie Hanover. I am also a senior music industry major here at Fredonia. So, Luigi, what is your experience with music, and how are you involved with music now?
Well, I've been doing music for as long as I can remember. I remember writing my first song in, like, middle school, and then high school is when I got more into it. when I met people like producers and people who engineer, and then I was really deep into it in high school, and then in college now, my first 3 years I really wasn't into the creating because I was so focused on the school and agenda that I had to do here. But now part of my independent study is making a project in which I have to share for the student expo, and it's pretty dope.
Very nice, very nice.
And, and what about you? Like, what's your experience with music, and what you got going on now?
So in middle school and high school, I was in a band. So I played keyboard and sang. And then we won like a battle of the bands, recorded a CD. Mm. It was very cool.
Nice.
But now, after coming to college, I changed it more to like the business side of music. So
nice.
I'm actually going to law school in the fall. So I want to become like an entertainment attorney and represent artists in the field.
That's
so
dope.
Yeah.
When do you listen to music?
Okay. I listen to music all the time. So I wake up, turn on my speaker, hop in the shower, play music, driving to school, listen to music, come home, like, get ready to go out, always constantly listening to music.
How does that affect you, you know, like?
Music has a way of changing your mood so easily. Okay. So I would say, like, wake up in the morning, listen to, like, a chill song, you know, like, get ready for the day.
Yeah.
And then, like, driving to class, a little hyper,
more hype.
And then, like, getting ready to go out, something that, like, really amps you up and puts you in, like, a fun party
mood.
Agree. So, yeah, what about you?
And pretty similar. Like, I'm the first one in my household to wake up, and I blast music in the shower.
Good.
I'm up at 8 a.m. every day.
Oh, wow.
So I'm pretty, like, the alarm in my house. But, like,
that's
just
nice.
Like you said, I listen to music on everything. Like, if I'm in a bad mood, a great mood, it influences how I feel.
I feel like
if I wake up listening to like Marvin's Room from Drake, I'm gonna be in my bag all day.
But if
I listen to songs like I don't know, like Nipsey Hussle, Dedication, I feel like motivated all day, you know. Or if I hear a song like on some sad, you know, emotion, I'll feel pretty down the rest of the day, you know. I think music has an effect like that on everybody. Like it drives and gives out emotions from people. And what's your experience with music in college? Like, what have you been doing here at Fredonia?
Not too much. I mean, we're all required to take certain music classes, so like guitar or drums, like half a credit class. And I like to go to Mason sometimes and just like play piano and sing. But more like just the business side of it, not so much performing now, but you know, other things. What about you?
So, for me, I have an independent study this semester where I have to create a project and showcase it at the student expo. And the project that I chose is make like an album or a mixtape, and then that will show my journey from freshman year to senior year. And then, so there'll be like two songs for each academic year, two songs for freshman, sophomore, junior,
nice.
Senior. And the way I want to use like transition is to like record a skit of me going to like the registrar's office and handing in my application for my degree. And then in that conversation, the lady asked me about like my previous years, and then that'll segue into the song.
That's what I've
been working on lately. It's pretty dope.
That's awesome.
And do you have any projects that you're working now? Like,
not currently. No, I mean, I know a lot of people that make music, like yourself, and my brother makes music, a bunch of my friends from home, so
right.
I like to help out with that, but not like putting my own take on it, but like giving feedback and different things.
So do you see yourself as that kind of role in the future, like providing insights and like opinions and constructive criticism to artists?
I would say so, yeah.
Nice, that's dope.
And in the future, I would also like to continue to do that. What about you? How do you see yourself in the future?
In the future, it's crazy when you think about the future. Because, like, I'm about to graduate and there's...
It's scary.
It's scary
because
there's so much options and roads you can take. And it all... Every choice you make defines and plays a part in where you end up. So, in the future, honestly, I love making music and I love bringing people together. So I would say, like, maybe owning my own record label would be dope, and like bringing in people
that
have messages and stories to tell.
If you need an attorney,
dope. So if you, like, I'll definitely like contact you if I need a lawyer. So, but So that's is that what you see yourself doing?
That's what I see. Yeah, that's what I see myself doing. I'd like to represent people that like I care about and that I think are very talented musicians and want to get ahead in life. So that's I want to be there to like protect them and nice. Help them.
Have you had like any experience with like artists that you know that have needed like some legal help or advice or like even not even legal like maybe like events that they'll do or like venues or like. Like, how have you been involved with other mm-hmm. artists recently?
So, going back to my brother, he produces music, makes music, and I've helped him, like, book shows back home in Syracuse mm-hmm. and, like, email different people to get clearance on songs that he wants to sample and different things like that. So, yeah. Okay. It's fun. It's pretty cool.
It's nice. You know? So, how do you see yourself, like, growing or your transitions from like how you used to be involved with music to how you are now and then how you wish to be in the future, you know, mm-hmm. how do you reflect on that sometimes? What do you see like overall?
I see overall, so being a performer and the not being a performer, I think I choose the non-performing side more because I like to learn about different people and like hear what they have to say. But moving forward, I mean, music is always going to be a part of my life, and it helps me get through some pretty tough times. Like
definitely. Mm-hmm. I understand.
But yeah, how do you see yourself in the future? What do you want to be doing?
Like I said, I would love to just bring people together and make music. And I feel like my growth throughout the time has showed a lot, because when I first started making music, I was telling stories, but stories that weren't mine. I just mm-hmm. knew a lot of people that went through a lot of difficult things, and they weren't able to voice themselves, so I wanted to be the voice for them. But like now, when I look back at it, like I look back at the songs that I wrote, and I kind of like look at it sideways, because it's like none of that was me, you know. I would make mm-hmm. songs about like, yo, I have to cut school to sell drugs so my daughter can go to school. I don't have a daughter, you know, mm-hmm. yeah. you know what I mean?
Not so relatable.
But I think it's important to focus that, not to dismiss the fact that telling stories that has nothing to do with you or that you didn't go through doesn't really mean anything, because there are artists out there that tell stories that they know other people go through. So
exactly.
So what I'm trying to do now with this project is show my journey through college mm-hmm. and then show my growth as well. So I want to show, like with the freshman segment of the project, I want to show how freshman year was like everything was new and lit, so like, you know, fuck class, man, let's go party instead, you know, like that type of vibe. And then for sophomore year, I'm more confident and I know my way around more, so mm-hmm. I'm like a bit more cocky, you know.
Yeah.
And then junior year, a lot of personal things happened where it was a slap in the face or like a wake up call, like, yo, mm-hmm. you're here for a reason, and all this lifestyle that you're living now, it's cool, whatever, but it's taking a toll mm-hmm. on you. So
yeah, no, junior year was low. It was a low point, but
it had to happen, because like now I'm seeing that I'm in a position where I can take action mm-hmm. and I can put in that effort and work towards what I want. Because before I would say like, yeah, I'll do music. Yeah, I'm going to do it. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'll do tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll never get around to it.
But then now I'm like, what can I do right now? What can
I? You're making it happen.
Yeah. So
that's exciting.
I feel like that growth has shown. Like before I was like so lazy or didn't really put much thought into it. I wasn't driven as much. But now I'm like, I got this fire in me. Like, who wants to work, you know?
Yeah,
like, let's get together.
No, for sure.
And like, but that's...
Can't wait to hear your project.
Yeah, it's coming out soon, you know. Yeah. Come to the Student Expo, you know. You'll hear it. I'm trying to... what I want, since it's... So the project that has to do with, like, Fredonia,
mm-hmm.
my experience, I want to involve as much people as I can.
That's cool.
In Fredonia, you know? And I feel like that's a great marketing way, too, because, like... I will involve as much people as possible, and then maybe not even singing, maybe like skits or like mm-hmm. or something, and then involving as like so many people, they'll show their friends like, yo, look what I was a part
exactly.
of.
Yeah,
and then their friends will show their friends, so I don't have to be like, oh, link in my bio, swipe
yeah.
up, other people are
no,
doing
exactly.
that are involved in it, so exactly. that's kind of like the approach that I've been taking.
So how many people do you have featured on
honestly
the so
like song wise about six mm-hmm. but like skit wise and other content wise honestly like at least 15. You know what I mean?
Wow,
I have a lot of people.
That's
in
great,
this.
Though.
And it's pretty dope. You know, I'm learning a lot about myself as a musician and as an artist.
No, for sure.
And how to work with other people. So it's been a pretty dope experience.
That's awesome. Very cool.
Yeah.
Great chatting with you.
Yeah, thank
always
you
a
so
pleasure.
It was always a pleasure.
Of course, of course.
What's up, guys? It's Ethan Mordanga here, and today I am sitting with the musically inclined brother and sister, Courtney and Kyle Osman. Today, they are going to discuss their struggles and obstacles that they deal with on a daily basis in the music industry. And Kyle will be discussing his two bands, Vintage Pretty and Superficial, and sort of the daily struggles and the things that he's dealt with as an upcoming artist with songwriting and performing shows and talking about his big dreams that he has for the future. And Courtney today will be discussing more of her side of the music industry, where she deals with more of the PR and business side with creating events and setting up the shows and dealing with things more along those lines. So tune in and listen to the brother and sister talk about their music experiences and what they hope to see in the future.
Hi, I'm Courtney Osman. I'm here interviewing my brother Kyle Osman today. So you're an artist. Tell me about your experience with the music scene here in Fredonia.
So, like, I started my freshman year at Fredonia, which I came in 2016. And so at the time, I was really just doing acoustic, like, coffee house stuff. And, you know, I was still getting, like, a few gigs here and there, opportunities, like Rhythm and Brews, like, kind of just playing in the Tim Hortons and stuff. And, you know, I was still writing a lot of songs, but none of them were really that good, and none of them were really worth recording or anything. But then, so my sophomore year, I did Battle of the New Bands, which is a event run by the Music Industry Club, and me and my friends, we'd already been, like, jamming together and stuff, so we started a project called Vintage Pretty, and then... So we were kind of like a dad rock band. We still are. But so we, you know, at the time we were playing like Tom Petty and Eagles, and but also we'd play like The Strokes and a bunch of modern alternative stuff. But then so we kept doing that. And then this year I kind of started like my project, which is Superficial, which, yeah, that's been fun. We've been playing shows this semester, so... That's been fun, and it's also just been fun being in a few bands and getting to kind of delve into different tastes that I've always had. And but yeah.
So tell me a little about your new project. Who are your influencers when starting Superficial?
So Superficial's very 80s influenced, just because honestly, I think it all goes back to our dad listened to like a ton of 80s, and so like I just remember always being in the back of the car like listening to, you know, Tears for Fears and Thompson Twins, and like those were the ones that resonated with me, the ones that have like these really like warm synths, but also I don't know, there's just something about them that's really, they like, the thing that inspired me about Superficial, well, about 80s bands that, you know, inspired Superficial, was they declared themselves like futurists, like in the new wave era, where they thought it was the sound of the future. Like, but it's so funny because now when you listen to it, it sounds retro. It sounds like from the past. So it's like, I really liked the idea of that. And I guess a lot of this project has kind of just been messing with that, being retro, but also looking forward at the same time, and kind of just being a mix of both, sounding both retro and modern.
All right, so tell me a little about your songwriting process. Do you have an algorithm when going about it? You just kind of winging it, going off what you like?
Honestly, like, it's pretty much a mess, just in terms of, like, there's no real process that works every time, and I think that's true for everyone. But I notice mainly the way I work is I record a lot of melodies into my voice memos, because with me and songwriting, melodies always kind of come first, because I don't want to listen to something that doesn't have an interesting melody at the least. So That's where it always starts with me. And then in my notes on my phone, I literally have thousands of notes that are just like, even if I'm like hanging out with a group of friends and someone just says something interesting or catchy, like I'll write it down just so. And then so sometimes what the songwriting is it's me like producing, making a beat or a chord progression or something, and then it's going into the archives of my notes and my phones and seeing if I have a melody or a lyric that I can draw up that will like inspire the rest of the process and make it more fully formed. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of a different bag every time, and every song I've written has had a different process with it, and some of them I've written in an hour, and some of them I've written in like it takes months, and then some take years. So that's been that.
All right, so you just recently have started both these bands, Vintage Pretty and Superficial. So how has it been performing in these bigger venues opposed to when you're just playing solo?
Well, first of all, there's a lot of terminology that you have to, terminology and etiquette that you kind of have to learn only by doing. And it's funny because with this project Superficial, so our drummer Sarah, this is kind of her first band, and it's kind of been funny to see like the stuff that you have to, because you know, even like backlining a drum set, like it's not a terminology that just everyone understands. It's something you kind of, you're like, oh well, that, like when you hear backline, it's like, what does that even mean? So that's kind of, you know, so it's stuff like that where it's, you know, just vocabulary. But also you know, the main thing about venues is when you're playing a venue, people want to hear your, not because I mean people like covers too, but people want to hear you like rock out and kind of let go, where like my whole life up to that point had been playing acoustic things where you're kind of the background music. And especially for like fundraisers and stuff, like they could care less about what you're doing. Like just play something they know. Where I've noticed in a lot of venues, it's like when we play a good amount of covers, people are kind of upset, which is a whole different response to what I was expecting. Because normally it's like you have to play what people know or else they're uninterested. Where a venues, it's kind of, and venues playing for crowds, it's like they kind of demand authenticity and artistic integrity. And like, that's been something I haven't been faced with, and it's really, I think it's made my songwriting more refined, and I think it's made my performing more interesting, because it's been like, you're not just stationary, it's like you can actually kind of let go a bit and get a really big, you know, high off the crowd and the response and, you know, the interaction with your bandmates and all that.
So you've started these new projects, and it's obviously pretty exciting. But where do you see yourself in 5 years down the road? What's your goal? You know?
So this is like the scariest question to me. But also, honestly, first and foremost, I love performing and I love writing songs. And I'm always going to do that, whether that's me playing in a Talking Heads cover band when I'm 40 or me, you know, just continuing making original stuff. So I know that's always going to be a part of it. But also, I mean, I love the industry. I love radio. And I mean, I'm majoring in audio and video production. So if I can work in that field, that would be great. But again, like, this always has to be a part of my life. I've unfortunately got the bug where I love performing and I love making songs. So I don't know. I'm in it for the long run.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for letting us see a little into your life. Hearing about your dreams and ambitions. So, yeah.
Hello, I'm Kyle Osman. I was just interviewed as an artist, and now I'm flipping the script and interviewing Courtney on her work in the industry. So first of all, so how did you get involved in the music industry major?
Okay, so originally I came here to Fredonia as a communications major. So I'm a first-generation college student. Didn't really know what I was doing, just kind of, you know, winging it. In my senior year of high school, I was part of my newspaper at the school, and I just really was interested in communications. I liked media and all that. And then I came to school. I noticed the music industry program here. I chose Fredonia because I knew there was music here, and music's one of my passions, obviously. And my roommate was in the music industry program and she was just talking about it. And I was like, oh, I wish I was a music industry major. And I was like, oh, I can change. So I added the music industry major and then had communications as a minor and then eventually changed that into a second major as a public relations major. So, yeah.
So you just brought up a public relations major. So what specifically about the PR field appealed to you or made you think that you had a lot of strength in it?
So with PR, I really like the idea that you're in control of how your audience sees you. So, you know, you have control and you can kind of manipulate the way they see you. I'm really interested in like crisis management. I mean, hopefully I don't, you know, I'm not faced with any crises. I really like advertising events. I've done a lot of event work. Yeah, so.
And you specifically, so you work for Last Call Entertainment, which is an entertainment company in Fredonia that provides, you know, puts on shows at BJ's and other venues and things like that. So how did you get involved with that and how has that been for you?
So I've been attending the BJ's shows since I was a freshman here and I was just really interested in it. And then there's positions opening up for this academic year and I was like, oh, I want to be on Last Call. So I put in an application and then I ended up getting a PR position. And when we first started, we kind of like assigned roles, did stuff, and then there wasn't really anything for me to do. No one in Last Call had really done PR work before. They just kind of knew they wanted a PR person. So I just kind of created my position, to be honest. So I was like, oh, maybe I'll do a PR campaign. So I did a campaign last semester. Our website was really dated and kind of just looked like Tumblr. So I revamped it. We interview like local artists in the Buffalo area. So that's something new we've added. Yeah, so I've just kind of been revamping what Last Call is, and it's been really fun because it's kind of DIY and there's a whole lot to do with it. So that's been really fun.
So in working these events, you've kind of seen like that some go really well and some don't go according to plan. Like there's successes and failures in every, you know, aspect of the industry. So what lessons have you learned from that and what has it taught you and moving forward, and how do you think that's made you a better PR person?
So it's really awesome when your event goes well, but unfortunately there's circumstances when it doesn't go well. I'm also part of Hail Fredonia Records on campus and we do a lot of event work, and sometimes the events just don't work. You can have a great event, but if it's not promoted well, people aren't going to show up. And you just kind of have to learn not to get discouraged by that, kind of learn from what you did wrong and execute it the next time you put on an event. So we kind of had a failed event last semester, unfortunately. It just wasn't promoted well. We had a great idea, but we had to put it together in a short amount of time, and we just didn't reach the audiences we wanted to. And that's something I've learned with PR, that you need to understand your target audience and know how to properly market to them. So say you're doing a community event, you need to know that you're going to be doing more traditional media, where when I'm doing an event on campus, I know I can rely on social media because a lot of college students are on social media, where I can promote the event all I want on social media for a community event, but if they don't follow our page, they're not going to see it. So you have to know who you're marketing to and market wisely.
So I'm going to hit you the same torturous question that you fired at me. Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
So I'd really like to see myself in the entertainment industry, doing PR, because I've just kind of grown to have a passion for PR, and I didn't think I'd which is just kind of interesting. I don't know. Y'all, like, everyone has a passion for music, I feel, or something in the arts. But I'd really hope to do something in the music industry and go somewhere in an area where music is a big part of the scene there. We grew up in a town that's really small. There's just not a huge scene there, and I'd like to go somewhere like Nashville or even Buffalo. Here, there's just a lot of demand. There's a lot of venues. There's a lot of work to do. So I'd like to be somewhere where I can hone in on my skills and use it.
That's awesome, and I think you will. Thank you for being here, Courtney.
Okay, do you see why I love these young people so much? Their passion for music is indeed contagious, and in fact, they inspire me with their fresh ideas and creative minds. I love being able to impart some wisdom to them from my experience, and I love how they keep me up to date on what's hip and cool in the world of music. I am sure that in the near future, you'll be hearing a lot more from Ethan Mordanga, Marcel, Caitlin Mori, Kyle LaJoy, Jacob Supovitz, Katie Hanover, Luigi Montanaro, Courtney Osman, and Kyle Osman. I also want to give a shout out to Bryce Height and Zachary Sovacool. They will hopefully be making an appearance in the next episode. Please continue to support this podcast by subscribing and sharing on whatever platform you prefer, Apple, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, etc. Please send your comments and questions to thegreatunsung@gmail.com. Until next time, thanks for listening. And this is Allison Pipitone. We'll catch you next time on The Great Unsung.